Letter from the Apostle Paul to the Ephesians. Just chock full of instruction for Christians, for believers of all ages. Wonderful epistle. Everybody got it? Ephesians chapter 6, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in the sincerity of your heart as to Christ, not by ways of eye service as men's pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will render service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good thing each one does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether slave or free. And masters, do the same things to them and give up threatening, knowing that both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, take up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petitions for all the saints, and pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that you also may know about my circumstances, how I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make everything known to you. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, so that you may know about us and that he may comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ with incorruptible love. Join me in prayer. Our gracious Lord, we thank you so much for this opportunity we have to study the book of Ephesians in this great sixth chapter. I just pray, Lord, that you would help us each one to find those tender, wonderful truths that we can apply, that we can put into practice, that we might be stronger men and women and children for you. Lord, help us to love you and serve you with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind. You are worthy of nothing less. Thank you, Lord, and we do praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. In the experiment is often recounted of placing a frog in a pan of cool water on a stove and of slowly increasing the heat. Because the rise in temperature is so gradual, it's imperceptible to the frog, and he remains in the pan even when the water begins to boil. He adjusts to the heat as it rises and eventually boils to death. The process illustrates what has happened to the American family, including many Christian families. The change in values in society has been so gradual that most people have hardly noticed them. Each small change in standards and values seem insignificant in itself, and because adjustments are gradually made to those lowering standards, the danger is not noticed even when the family and society start to disintegrate and crumble. Moral and spiritual standards have gradually eroded until countless families have literally been destroyed. When the divorce rate among Christians is almost as high as that in the rest of society, it is clear that many believers should have jumped out of the pan long ago. It's high time we leave the evil system that is engulfing and destroying us and reestablish ourselves in God's revealed standards of fidelity and moral purity. We have long lost the luxury of living in a society that gives some nominal support to the church and to Christian values. Christian seminars, books, and articles on marriage and the family continue to proliferate, and volumes of schemes and principles are proposed for strengthening them. Child psychology books are written almost ad infinitum, yet God's Word gives the basics for right parent-child relationships in just 4 verses. When the other teachings of Scripture supportive of these verses are studied and applied, every parent and every child has all the foundational information necessary for godly and a harmonious family living. But from the time of the fall, the family has been plagued with problems of every sort that weaken, undermine, and threaten to destroy it. The first cause of those problems, and of every human problem, is the sinful nature with which every person is born. The curse of the fall is built into the family. It is the curse that causes men to be chauvinistic, women to usurp the place of men, children to be disobedient to their parents, and parents to be abusive to their children. Only where Christ is in control as Savior and Lord can a family live up to the standards and fulfill the ministry that God commands. That really sums up what we've been looking at in the family so far. And tonight I want to look at a different member of the family, the child. You know, these verses, I believe, are some of the only verses in the whole Bible that are written only to children. Now, they apply to parents because us parents, we need to teach our children how to do that. And I would say grandma and grandpa need to learn that too, because we need to teach the children how to obey. And so this is important for the whole church to hear, and I don't think it's just for children. But the primary focus is for children, to focus on them and to pull them in. So I hope that we can do that tonight. We've got a couple of skits that we're planning that we're going to try to emphasize some points in the sermon and try to make you stop and think about what obedience is and how to honor parents. And hopefully we can bring some of this out and make it a little more real to the children. At least that's the goal. But it's for all of us. If you have children in your family that you love, adults, we need to teach them how to do this. Teaching them to honor you is a big step toward teaching them to honor God. And we know they need to honor God. Tonight I want to look at 2 commands for young people so you may become godly Christians that God will use. It's simple. It's right here in the text. Obey your parents and honor your father and mother. I mean, there's the 2 commands. There's the 2 halves of my sermon right there. So let's dig into this and let's see what God has for us. Children, obey your parents. Children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. Children, the very first word, technon. The Greek has several words for children. And like we do in English, you know, we have infant, we have toddler. I mean, there's different ways that we describe children. Well, the Greek does that too. This is a word for those who has some sense. So this is older than an infant. An infant, you know, they just know that they cry when they get hungry and so on. You know about infants. So this is children a little bit older than that, but they're still not mature. They're still in the home. They're still under their parents' authority. They're still learning. They're older than infants, but not mature. It says those children are to obey their parents and the Lord, for this is right. What does it mean to obey? Hupokuo, it means to hear under, so listen with attentiveness. Did you hear that? Listen with attentiveness. And to respond positively to what is heard. Easy to understand, not always easy to do, especially when you're playing games and you don't want to hear what mom and dad have to say. But that's what it means. To pay attention, to listen attentively. It means to do what one is told, to follow the orders of another, to yield or submit to authority, to yield to the control of someone else. And in this case, for children, it's their parents. Many of our young people have made professions of faith, but nowhere, listen carefully to this, kids, nowhere in the Bible would it ever say that you can wait till you're 18 years old to start obeying. The time to start obey the Lord and to obey your parents is right now. Right now. This is an urgent command for you. One writer put it like this, beneath all this lies the understanding of faith as an act of obedience. Moreover, obedience to Christ cannot be separated from obedience to His messengers and to the message they proclaim. Such obedience must work itself out in the life of the Christian. Christians are hindered by obeying the sinful passions of the body. From obedience to the Lord, it follows that one must submit willingly to earthly authorities, parents, and masters. And these too must, of course, acknowledge the Lord Christ as the highest authority. Your parents are trying to obey Jesus. Your pastor's trying to obey Jesus. You need, right now in your life, where you're at, you need to obey Jesus. Why are children to obey then? Right here in the verse, the reason for obedience is unto the Lord. It's for Him that you obey. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. Don't ever lose sight of that He is your Master, your Lord, and your Savior. You need Him. And if you have trusted Him, you want to obey. You should. Fathers are to cherish their wives for the Lord's sake. Wives are to submit to their husbands for the Lord's sake. And children are to obey their parents for the Lord's sake. The text says right here, for this is right. It's the right thing to do. It's the same weird word we get righteousness from. Obeying parents then is right. It leads to the path of righteousness. Submission and obedience are key in a productive life for any Christian. Do you want to be a productive Christian? I learned so much in seminary, but one of the things that I learned from one of the old professors is he said, the man you will be tomorrow is the one you're becoming today. Kids, what kind of man or woman are you becoming today? This is important for you to think about. What do I want to be when I grow up? One of the things I like to ask young people is, when you're 70 or 80 years old and look back over your life, what would you like to say how it turned out? Well, I was obedient and I followed Jesus and I loved Him and I served Him my whole life and I gave myself to service of the church. If that's what you want, you have to take steps right now today to make that happen. It's not just going to happen on its own. How many are really willing to actually do the things necessary to live such a life? It's more than reading a chapter for the day or muttering a prayer or two a day. How will you live? How will this impact your life? I hope that you parents are listening too, because this applies just as much to you as it does your kids. But this particular passage I'm aiming at the children. Every time you have an opportunity to obey your parents, you are learning to submit your will to Christ. And that's worth it. Your flesh does not want to give in. It wants to do what it wants to do. And you have to say, no, I'm going to do what's right. It's not about whether or not you get to go rollerblading or bike riding or whatever else you like to do. Mom says, help me with the dishes. You have a choice. I'll help Mom. And then maybe later, after the work's done, maybe she'll let me go rollerblading or ride my bike. Shall you do everything without complaining or arguing, or is that only a command for adults? Will you listen to Jesus when he says through his messenger, and who's the messenger? Mom and dad or pastor? Children, obey your parents. Or will you follow the impulses of your own flesh and do what you want to do on your own terms? That's the thinking of rebelliousness. And that is bound up in your flesh just like it is your parents. That is our tendency. That is what we need to be rescued from. That is what salvation is from. That is what Jesus does when he changes our hearts. You right now are forming habits. Make sure they're good ones. Are you forming godly habits that please God or sinful fleshly habits that will plague you for the rest of your life? I got saved later in life. I think I was, I forget now, like 26 or so when I got saved. Awful lot of baggage, an awful lot of bad habits, an awful lot of things have to be overcome and turned around. Kids, I want you to avoid that. I want you to form good, godly habits right now. While you're in church, while you're under your parents' authority, while you're under their guidance, this is the time to form good, godly habits. Right now. Think about this with me. I believe that David slew Goliath. You know how old he was? He was 14. I believe he was 14 years old. That's not very old. But by that point in time, he had serious convictions about God. Who is this Philistine who's going to mock the armies of the living God? David was passionate. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. How old were they when they faced down the fiery furnace of Nebuchadnezzar? They were probably about 15 or 14-year-old kids. First it was, we will not eat your food. Now we will not bow down to your statue, even if it costs us our life. Because we serve the living God. Is God real to you? Is it worth serving Him? And I say it is. About this same time period, and I know there's... Well, Daniel was about 14 or so, give or take a few years, when he set his face like flint, would not eat the king's food, he obeyed God. That could have cost him his life. Defying the most powerful king in the world, in the universe of that time, the earth. You know what the angel said about Daniel? You, who are highly esteemed. Why was he highly esteemed? Because he set his face like flint to obey God. God's command to you as the youth of today is that you are to obey your parents for his sake because this is right. And it will set you on the difficult path, but the right path toward righteousness. And Jesus will help you on that way if you turn to Him. Okay, I'm going to take a little intermission right now. And we're going to have a couple examples for you of disobedience. I'm going to be the disobedient one, and I want you to listen carefully because I want to ask you kids to describe for me afterwards why the behavior was terrible and what was wrong. Okay? So that's what we're going to do. So, and then I'll come up and finish the sermon.
Mom needs help setting the table. Can you come do that, please?
Sure thing. But no. No. I want to finish this just a few more minutes and I can get another 1,000 points. No.
Okay, guys. What was wrong with that? Why is that a problem? Who was right? Who was wrong? Yeah, explain. What was wrong? Did I have a good attitude?
No.
No. What was wrong with my attitude? Wrong attitude, but yet how many times do you run into that as children all the time? So at that point in time, you have to ask yourself a question. Am I going to do what Dad says or not? I'm going to fork in the road. Obey or disobey? Make a choice. Am I going to do what Dad says or not? I chose not. Howard, the good little boy, chose to do it. All right, we got another one for you.
All right, back to it. Yeah. This is great. Oh, as fast as I can. Oh, I'm faster. I'm better than you.
I need you to clean your room. They look like pigsties. The roaches are leaving. Get out there and do that. Please.
So close. All right. Yeah. Wait a minute. Hold on,
Dad,
can I just have
the
5 minutes? I'm really close.
All right.
Okay.
All right. You can take your 5 minutes, but I'm going to take the rest of the night. I'm not going. I'm not doing it.
Huh? What? I just got done. I better go help. Are you sure you don't want to?
I'm going to keep playing. I don't care what he says.
All right. I'll come play. I just got to go clean my room, all right?
What do you think, guys? Yes? Eddie? Well, I sure didn't. I want to keep playing the game. Didn't care at all what Dad said. Some of it might be laziness. Some of it is just, I want to do what I want to do. Very similar to the first one. These guys are similar, but there are some subtle differences. Anything else? So what should I have done? Should I have went with my brother, Albert? Little Danny should have went with Albert. Should have done what Albert did. Yeah, I should have. I was being pretty disrespectful to my father, wasn't I, behind his back? Yeah, I care about. Oh, yeah, I was bragging a lot how much I was better than you. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I sure did. And we both know who's really just good at this video game. I don't even know which one to put it. Of course, you do.
The jumping game?
Okay, one more.
that again. I got you this time.
So close.
Never. Yeah. Hi guys. Hey, have you read your Bibles today?
Oh yeah, sure. I did. I went through Ephesians 6. Pastor preached on it this Sunday. It was about children obeying your parents. And I read it again because, you know, I really wanted to obey you guys.
Good. Glad to hear that. Did you read your Bible?
Oh yeah.
So what did you read today?
The Bible.
Anywhere in the Bible in particular?
The Bible.
Any special story you read?
I was in Ephesians.
Oh, okay. What was that about?
I was in chapter 7, and it all talked about the Philistines attacking Goliath.
Philistines? You're sure you read the Bible?
Okay. What's wrong? Sarah? I sure did. I lied to my dad. Well, I didn't need to lie at all, did I? And I made it up. Is there a piece of chapter 7?
No.
And if there was, it certainly wasn't talking about Philistines attacking Goliath. What? Yeah, they were on the same side. Yeah. I mean, any dad would know that right away. So I was lying. Lying to my father about something very important. About having devotion. He was concerned about me and my body doing. Kids provided the parents too. And guys, quite often the parents can see right through your eyes. Sometimes they can't. But who really can see through your eyes all the time? Okay? That's right. That's right, and it's very important that we tell the truth and we're honest. If you don't read your Bible or you don't do something your father or mother want you to do, just say, no, I didn't do it. And that would be a whole lot better than mine. Yeah, sure.
If we talk about Albert asking for more time, he got a command and he asked for more time. Is that okay with you?
I think it's okay to ask the parent for that, but if the parent says, no, I need you to do it right now, then that's the answer.
He asked respectfully.
He did. That's good.
He honored his parent by the way he asked.
Is it okay if I continue? Sure. I don't see a problem with that. Little Danny would not have done that. he would have pulled off of that or something. Okay, you're going to see more of that in a few minutes when we get to the honoring part. Okay, so we're going to do this again at the end of the sermon. Alright, so I'm going to continue. Put my pastor's cap back on. I'm going to go back and finish the sermon, okay?
I'm not little Danny now. Okay, the second part of the sermon is on verse 2 and 3. Honor your father and your mother. Honor your father and your mother. We did talk about this sermon this morning in that text. What is meant by honor? To honor implies to love, to regard highly, to show the spirit of respect and consideration. I use the illustration of weightiness. I mean, these are your parents. Your God-given authority over you. And you should treat them with that kind of authority. This is mom. This is dad. Obedience emphasizes action, where honor is more of an attitude. It's an attitude that needs to be cultivated. It doesn't just happen. Parents, we'll talk about this more when we get to verse 4 about exasperating your children and don't provoke them to wrath, but your children must be taught to obey you and to honor you. And sometimes that feels self-serving. Sometimes that feels like, honor me? You know, I'm a sinner too. But God's word says the children are to honor you and you need to teach them to do so. Listen to this from Proverbs chapter 4. Hear, O sons, the instruction of a father. And give attention that you may gain understanding. For I give you sound teaching. Do not abandon my instruction. When I was a son to my father, tender, and the only son in the sight of my mother, then he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live. Acquire wisdom. Acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. If I might leave that impression with you kids tonight, that would be an important thing for you to understand. You need to pursue wisdom. You need to pursue understanding. And the way to do that is from the Scriptures. Take every opportunity to learn that you possibly can. Every week your parents bring you here to Sunday school. They bring you on Wednesdays to Awana, most of you. And you have all kinds of opportunities in the home. Hopefully they're having devotions with you and those things are going on. These are all precious opportunities for you to learn and to learn about God's Word and to understand. So pursue this and go after it and say, I must have God's Word. Satan is very active in this world and in this society to train your kids to follow his ways. You must stand in the gap and protect your children, parents. They need to follow God, not Satan, and not the desires of their own heart. We are to be servants. Christians are born to serve, first Christ and then each other. Obedience and the honoring of parents are the first steps a youth can make toward becoming good servants. All right. Honor. Well, who? Who are you to honor? Mom? Dad? Who? Well, it looks like it's to both parents, isn't it? Look at the text. Honor your father and mother. There is no distinction being made here. You're to honor both. There's no indication that one or the other is placed higher in this regard. You're to honor both mom and dad. It's the first command with a promise, Paul says. You see that in parentheses there, which is the first commandment with a promise. This is important. You want long life? Do you want God to bless you? Do you want God's best? Then pursue these commands. If you decide not to, if you're going to live a disobedient life and you're going to go off and by the time you're an adult be a kind of a rebellious person, it will not go well with you in life. How you pursue this command will impact your life. Your entire life. Will you have a long life? Will God bless you? And this is what one pastor told me years ago, and I want you to get it. If you're not willing to take God's best, then maybe you're going to have to settle for second best. In other words, if you're not going to obey Him, He probably will not bless you to the degree He would have had you pursued a life of obedience. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? There's consequences for disobedience. All right, let's continue. Let's look at this. This is the first commandment with a promise. Best to think of first not as being first numerically, but rather in prominence. It is a prime command, a foremost one. That would be the best way to see that. Honor your father, your mother, which is the foremost command with a promise. This is an important command, a prime command. Obedience to this command will place the youth well on his way to either keeping the other commands of God or disregarding them. This was so important. I read one passage this morning to you, or talked about it. I want you to listen to this. This comes from Exodus 21, which is right after the Ten Commandments, which we read this morning. Oops, sorry. Listen to this, 21:15. And he who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Ooh. How does God feel about this anyway? And he who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Now maybe these things aren't being practiced today, but it does give us a pretty good idea how God feels about disrespecting your parents and not obeying them and not holding them high. Be put to death. Wow. Okay. Time for a couple more skits and then I'll have a conclusion. Okay, guys. the emphasis on these is more on honoring the parents,
but it's still, there's some obedience to it as well. You're not going to get me this time. No way. I got you. I'm way better at this than you are. We'll see. I can press the button pretty fast. All right, guys, it's that time again. We need you to clean your rooms.
Yeah.
Got aunts and uncles coming over. They might do a room inspection. So.
All right, thanks for telling me, Dad. I'll get right on.
If you want my room clean, clean it yourself, old man.
Oh.
Wow. Did I just say that? What do you think?
He
needs some order of education applied to the seat of knowledge, that type of thing. Okay, good. Yeah. Make sense. Yes.
I think he would like to use devices ever again.
I didn't hear all of that. I caught part of it.
He wouldn't let you use devices, like gaming devices.
Oh, games out. Yeah, no more games. Okay. What else? What do you think of that level of disrespect to the father? Is that okay? What would God think of that? We just read. You can't talk to your parents like that. That's terrible. God would not approve of that at all. Not in the least. That's horrible. No. Throw out the words, much better. Sure, Dad. Sure, I'll clean my room. That's honoring the father. Okay, let's go back.
All right. Back to uncle. Okay. I can really press this button faster now. I'm going to use two fingers.
I could do it with my left pinky faster than you can.
I don't know, I'm going pretty fast.
Yeah.
Go, let's go. You didn't even move. I don't know what you're doing, man. I'm beating this time for sure.
Never.
I'm going to get through. Yes!
Where did that cookie go? I know I set it down here.
Albert, eat it.
Albert, eat the cookie. I saw him do it.
No! What
you took? I think it's spanking time for you, young man.
No! It wasn't me!
Right.
He did it. Way to make it good, Dad. You know what? He's going to get a spanking. Are you really going to spank him? He's going to get a spanking for something I did. And I'm happy for little Danny was happy about it. He's thrilled. I was going to eat it, but I didn't have time to, so I mean, I ate it. I took it. I did it. Irresponsible. And going off to what you've done. You were. Okay, anything else about that we should talk about? Everybody see the bad attitudes clearly? One more.
Remember we went to Jimmy's house the other day?
Oh, yeah, he's got that
cool game system.
Yeah, that is Switch Station X.
Oh, oh yeah. Excellent. Oh, yeah, that is a whole lot better than this crud that we're playing with.
I don't know. It's not that bad.
I don't know. Dad is so cheap, he doesn't buy us anything nice.
Whoa, hold on. I know Dad can't always afford to buy us, you know, things that Jimmy's got, but Dad works really hard for us. You saw he's pulling overtime the other week. For us.
I don't know. I think he should buy us better toys than what he's doing.
I don't know. I think he's looking cheap.
Okay, guys. What do you think?
What's little Danny's attitude on that one?
Yeah?
Super disrespectful. Yeah, I mean, who's he disrespecting? He's talking to his brother because Dad wasn't even in the picture, but who's he disrespecting? Really?
God.
God put the dad. His dad is a hard worker. He brings home income. He takes care of the family. And he's belittling father to his brother. That was horrible. That was a horrible thing to do. He was not honoring his father at all. What else?
Not grateful,
that's right. No gratitude at all. Oh, you're not a little kid.
I know.
An old guy pretending to be a little kid, yeah.
What else?
My brother, little Albert, was being respectful to Dad. He was thinking he was very thankful for what his dad had provided. And yet I just argued with him and disrespected him. So it was for my brother and my father that I showed disrespect. Okay, is there anything else that we can pull from that?
Probably you are envious of
him. Envious because who was it? Neighbor
Jimmy.
Jimmy, yeah, Jimmy had the nice fancy new game system and all we had was this old stuff, yeah. So I was in the church. Yeah, Ernie. Oh, I was coming.
Yeah, good. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. That was excellent. Sorry I didn't hear you well. Sometimes I'm going to just talk. I'm fine. All right, well, let's finish up the sermon. Kids, think about this. You need to make some serious decisions every day. What kind of person you're going to be. It's important.
Tonight, we looked at two commands for children. Children are to obey their parents. Children are to honor their parents. Kids, I think you are extremely fortunate children. The kids sitting here have parents that love you, and they bring you to church. They want you to learn about God. They are probably teaching you in the home. You are extremely fortunate kids to have that. You need to think about that. These are commands which set you as children on a path of lifelong obedience so that they can live productive lives for Christ. Do you want that? Some of you are approaching 10 years old already. Some of you are younger than that. It doesn't seem like it now, but I'm already almost 60. I'm 59. 70, 80 years old doesn't seem that far off now. I wish I had heard this when I was 8. I don't know if I would have obeyed. I'd like to think I would have. But I want you guys to have every chance. You need to be the best man or woman for Christ that you can possibly be in this life. And make that your goal. And don't aim any lower than that. Aim high. I want to be the best servant of Christ I can possibly be. Go after it. The time spent in the home is those formative years which prepares the youth for a life rich in service of Christ. Got a few, I'll read a few of these. These are from various authors. They're just little quips on obedience. Does not require great learning to be a Christian and be convinced of the truth of the Bible. It requires only an honest heart and a willingness to obey God. Put aside your own will so as to go to war under Christ the Lord, the real King, picking up the keen and glittering weapons of obedience. Unless he obeys, a man cannot believe. The golden rule for understanding in spiritual matters is not intellect, but obedience. How many observe Christ's birthday, how few his precepts. Oh, 'tis easier to keep holidays than commandments. A Christian is just as much under obligation to obey God's will in the most secular of his daily business as he is in his closet or at the communion table. In other words, your daily life, you should be obeying Christ just as much as when you're in church. That's how life should be. Here's a classic one. I guess this is at the cathedral in Lubbock, Germany. "You call me master and obey me not. You call me light and seek me not. You call me the way and walk me not. You call me wise and follow me not. You call me fair and love me not. You call me rich and ask me not. You call me eternal and seek me not. You call me gracious and trust me not. You call me noble and serve me not. You call me mighty and honor me not. You call me just and fear me not. If I condemn you, blame me not." C.S. Lewis says, "I was not born to be free. I was born to adore and obey." I've got so many of these, I think I better just read one or two more and then bring it to an end. Martin Luther said, "You may as well quit reading and hearing the Word of God and give it to the devil if you do not desire to live according to it." That's a pretty powerful statement, but it's true. When God gives a command or a vision of truth, it is never a question of what He will do, but what we will do. Well, we'll end with that, and I just again want to say to all of us here, we're every day at a fork in the road. And there's two paths, obey or disobey. I guess I'll switch that. Obey or disobey, because obey should be on the right, right? Obey or disobey. Which will it be? Choose. Make a choice. I choose obedience. Well, then do it and obey. And if you find it difficult to obey, then you know who to go to ask for forgiveness and for His grace. What is grace? You've heard this so much from me. I hope you can say it. It's His enablement to do what He asks. And He's willing to give. Let's go to Him in prayer, shall we? Gracious Lord, I thank You so much for this evening, for this time we can consider this very important command. I pray that each one of us will think about this and find those ways where we need to obey. I pray that You'd help us to repent, each one, and seek to obey You even more and more. I pray for the children, especially in our church. I pray that You would help them as they see their need to obey and to follow and to pursue You as they obey their parents and they do what's right. Oh, Lord, I pray that You'd give them a passion to do what's right and to make the difficult choices, to set aside the flesh, and to do what they need to do. I pray that you make them obedient children. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for these kids. There's just such a wonderful group of kids. And we thank you for the blessing that we have of each one of them. Thank you for your word. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.